Sorry, folks, park's closed. The moose out front should have told you. Well, we're definitely open for business as we go on vacation, hopefully not killing anyone along the way, dog or otherwise, for this all-new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome. On this podcast, we'll take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll provide some unique insight and hopefully some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who loves skinny dipping with random hotties at motels, my good friend Rob.
Wow.
Yeah, I do like a good skinny dip.
keep your socks on.
Yeah, must. I don't show my feet. So on behalf of the Total 80s and 90s Recall team, we want to welcome all of our driven individuals listening today. Here's what we know about you. You're crouched at the starting line, although reluctantly. Mm-hmm. You're yearning for the cup. You're using your deft maneuvering skills to muscle for rank. Your fuel is burning, and it's burning fast, on an empty tank. You are reckless and wild, your prowess is potent, and you're secretly stern. But even after all the flags go down and the arena is empty, except for one man or woman, that's you, the sun goes down and the moon comes up, but you're still driving and striving as fast as you can. Meanwhile, you're thinking of someone for whom you still burn. This person is all alone in their time of need, and you're racing, you're fighting, you're biting, and you're plotting the course. You're doing all of this even though there's no trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine, but you're haunted by something you can't define. Unfortunately, doubt and remorse assail you with monster truck force. Despite all of this, you're going the distance, and we're proud of you.
Ooh.
Yeah, most importantly, we're glad you're here. So yeah,
we are glad.
That's for my driven that folks is, out there.
That is quite profound.
Yeah.
Would you say coming up with that this week was a piece of cake?
It was a piece of cake.
No, oh, because yeah. It seemed to come very naturally. To
yeah,
you.
It did. Yeah.
So piece possibly a piece of cake. Yep. So well, as always, a great way to start the show, Rob. Get us thinking, get us feeling something, get us ready to go the distance, and helping us go the distance today. Back again. Joining us, our frequent guest host, a man who Cousin Eddie also says is a great French kisser. It's, of course, Kurt.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me back.
Eddie said he was a good French kisser.
Yes. Cousin Eddie said,
yes. I thought maybe you
I mean, said he was a good French Cousin Eddie seems to be an expert on these things, so.
Well, with David being my brother-in-law, I believe he is my Cousin Eddie.
All right.
No.
Or am I the Cousin Eddie?
You're the Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So he's Frenching himself at this point.
David has come to my house a number of times, and I'm just standing there in my robe.
Yes. That's right. Listening to Gangsta's Paradise, Frenching himself.
That's right. You just got to practice.
That's a great image.
It's a great image. You get it right in your head, and it just gets stuck there, right? So
that's funny.
Well, Rob. Cousin Kurt is here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. So why don't we tell our fans what topic we'll be covering for this episode?
Yeah. So at the time of recording, we will be celebrating National Lampoon's Vacation, the 40th anniversary.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing a little film analysis of National Lampoon's Vacation.
Does that make us feel old? 40 years?
I don't know. Yeah, I think anything's anything at this point.
Anything makes us feel old.
I don't realize how long things have been out.
No.
Yeah. You know. When David called me a few days ago and said, "Hey, do you want to come back on the pod and talk
That's
about?"
That's so dumb.
What?
Are you
pod.
Saying dumb having him on the pod?
No.
Oh my gosh, that hurts my feelings.
That does hurt his feelings.
Pod is great.
Yes.
Pod is change
to
prove.
We're trying to keep this to a certain time limit so we can cut down words where we think is necessary.
That's right.
Whatever.
So,
but as I was saying, Kurt, David called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come back on the pod and do this movie?" And I had to text him back and I go, "I will do it." But to be honest, I have not seen this movie in about 20 years.
A long time.
And I've never felt as old as I ever did that day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I can't remember the last time I saw the unedited.
You've been watching the TBS
version. Yeah, I've seen probably the TBS version. So,
I mean, I catch it on TV from time to time, but I have watched the other one every now and again.
I've forgotten about the boobies.
I will get a... No one forgets about those.
She showed me her boobies, Mom. So,
well, this movie...
And I liked them.
I would say... I would say for me, this reminds me of childhood. It feels like a family movie time. We rented the first time I ever saw this. Parents rented it. We all watched it together. Interesting, by the way. We watched lots of family movies, but I distinctly remember watching this. And it was the first time I remember seeing my dad laugh a lot. It turns out he really likes Chevy Chase. We used to watch old Saturday Night Live episodes on Nick at Night, and he would laugh a lot at that too. So I obviously didn't get everything in the movie that I get watching it now, a lot of it actually, but it was funny, and it just seems like a staple from being a kid if you grew up in the 80s, mm-hmm. watching this.
Yeah, for me, what really struck me as I watched this was how, so our family would drive to Sioux Falls probably every, Sioux Falls, South Dakota from Portland, Oregon every, yes. probably every other summer. That's where
you sprayed yourself with mace.
Yeah, and I have maced myself.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes, that's what they call it.
I amazed myself. But no, yeah, so there's so, as I watched this, there's a lot of similarities and things I could totally relate to that I'm like, that hit home.
Some of them you should not be relating to at all.
No, but no, just some of the road trip scenes and the, you know, the backseat of the car and the sleeping and the just monotonous, you know, stretches of freeway between, you know.
Well,
going across South Dakota.
Well, you both said you haven't seen it in 20 plus years or seen it unedited or whatever. So how was the rewatch?
The rewatch was fantastic, but there were certain parts of it. You're like, oh, that's
that didn't that age could, well.
That did not age well. Yes.
No. Yeah. No, that's.
So, yeah, there's definitely some, and there's just some questionable behavior in general.
Mm-hmm.
For the way the movie, I think, is framed as like a family type movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some interesting situations going on.
Yeah.
If that's supposed to be the family style movie. So, well, and how was your rewatch?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I watched it 3 times.
Did the wife watch it with you too?
She watched it the first time with me, and then we watched it again this morning. And just to get another, and we were laughing
did she harder help with the your third notes? Time.
No, she's good. She's very, she's got a, in a positive way, she's got a critical eye. And so she was asking questions. So she would be like, well, why did they do that? And I'm like, oh, that's a good question. I don't know but why they did that. So
first of all, there's no question.
There's no, well, there's no great, there's no good answer.
There's not a good answer. There's no good questions.
Because she was, one of the things I remember, she said, well, why did she have her credit card in her, makeup bag?
Well, it's got to go somewhere.
You know, and I was like, I don't know.
Well, hopefully maybe we'll try to answer that.
I don't know.
Maybe you can delve into the mind of Beverly.
Right alongside her diaphragm.
Ellen Griswold, which is unimportant.
That's right.
So, well, I thought the rewatch was great too.
Clark, that was the only thing that was irreplaceable. Gotcha.
Yes. So. But I thought the rewatch was great too. I laughed as normal and noted a couple things extra that I hadn't noted before when I was watching with, I'd say, a critical eye.
Yeah.
No. So, all right. Well, let's load up the family truckster, hit the road, and ultimately hate each other as we revisit the 80s classic National Lampoon's Vacation. So for those of you that follow us regularly, you know we normally compile lists, but for our movie episodes, we discuss categories and have some fun revisiting the movie overall instead. But before we look at the Griswolds, first... we've decided since Kurt's apparently going to hang around the studio now and chip in from time to time on some of these things, he needs to actually pull his own weight and do some work. So, before we jump into the movie, we're going to have the information brought to us by the one and only Kurt.
All right. Thank you. So National Lampoon's Vacation was released July 29th, 1983. So as we mentioned before, that was 40 years ago. It was written by John Hughes and directed by Harold Ramis. It was based on a short story John Hughes wrote for the National Lampoon's magazine, and that was called Vacation 58, about a family vacation. It stars Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, Anthony Michael Hall, Randy Quaid, John Candy, Christy Brinkley, and a host of others. It has a budget. It had a budget of $15 million and made $61.4 million. It had a critic score on Rotten Tomatoes of 93% and an audience score of 85%, so it seems like everybody loved it. Mm. It has spawned 5 sequels, and in 2000 was voted the 46th greatest comedy film of all time. So, Rob, do you think, or do your thing and tell us what you, this movie is about.
What this movie is about. We give you a chance to do something a little extra.
I'm an educator. I never learned to read.
I know. I got that. Here, let's rewind. Say that sentence again.
So, Rob, do your thing and tell us what the heck this movie is about.
Perfect segue.
Nailed it. All right. Having it all planned down to the last detail, well-meaning American paternal... paterfamilias.
Well said.
I'm an educator as well. We went through public school. Well-meaning American paterfamilias Clark Griswold and his supportive wife Ellen take their 2 teenagers, Rusty and Audrey, on a cross-country trip from the suburbs of Chicago all the way to sunny California's Wally World amusement park in the Wagon Queen family truckster. However, anything that could go wrong does, and before long, Ellen's cousin Catherine and her husband Eddie enter the picture, and Clark is on the verge of blowing a gasket. Roy Wally's wonderful park seems farther and farther away, and although the prospect of a clandestine meeting with the alluring blonde in the fast 1981 Ferrari 308 GTSI sounds tempting, Clark must do the right thing and find the promised land. How hard can it be to have the perfect vacation?
I don't know. How hard? As hard as it was for you to start talking when you did that, it's like your first podcast today.
I've been drinking.
Not again.
You said that before.
I know. I have a problem.
Well, now we know what the movie's about. We've gotten some cool details about it, even if it took 2 takes.
That's right.
So before we jump into our categories, let's just discuss a little bit about the movie. So as Rob said, basically this is a family trip going from Illinois to California to go to Wally World, which is an amusement park. Mm-hmm. And along the way, a lot of extra things happen.
Yes.
Is pretty much what goes down. So I will start with, I like the opening of the movie. I was watching it, and I like these postcards that everybody's have. My favorite couple were, there was one that said, having a wonderful time, but my ass is tired. And it had the donkey on there. Mm-hmm. But I did see 2, since we are Washingtonians, two Washington postcards.
I saw them as
one
well.
One just said back road in scenic Washington, and it just had like a road of farms or something.
I paused it to see if I could.
No.
But couldn't figure it out. Could be anywhere.
And then there was another one that said Hat and Boots Gas, Seattle, Washington.
Did you do any research on that?
I did. It's actually in a little town near Seattle called Georgetown.
Okay.
I'll let you take it from there.
I don't know.
Because you seem excited. Oh.
Well, no, I didn't. I was going to, and I didn't.
You perked up. Yeah. Yeah, it's just that big hat and a boot.
Okay.
And it's there, and you can visit it. So,
because when I think Seattle, I think hats and boots.
Hats and boots.
Hats and boots.
Yeah, maybe when it's raining. But they're more cowboyish.
Yeah, there's like cowboy
boots. Which was odd, I guess.
And it's still there?
It's still there.
It's still there?
Yeah, I looked it up. So, still alive. In fact, I looked at it yesterday, and it said park was open.
Oh, wow.
So maybe we'll take a trip to the Hat and Boot, and we'll get a photo, and it could go up on our website, and people can see that we visit the monuments and important places from the pod.
We really get into our research.
We do. I mean, you didn't, because you said you didn't look it up.
No, I
didn't. So, yeah, all right.
I didn't want to.
So, okay. Well, so once we break the opening, basically the first scene is Clark's going to pick up a brand new car.
Brand new car.
Right? And he had ordered a particular station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the... Sportsman's Blue Package or something like that.
The Arctic Blue. Super Blue. Sports Wagon.
Yes.
So,
with the CB and the optional rally pack.
That is correct.
It was the optional rally
fun pack.
Of course, they run into Eugene Levy.
Yeah. Great head of hair. Great head of hair.
Very good. And obviously, he doesn't get the car that he wants, so he gets talked into another vehicle.
Yes, he does.
The metallic P.
P, yes. Yeah.
And there's some really subtle, about this movie, there's some really subtle comedic lines that wouldn't, to me, rise to the top of like people's favorite list. But the writing was spectacular.
Spectacular. Wow. Nice.
Where he goes, I'm not your every average day fool.
Yeah.
And it is the way he says that. I'm like, Okay.
Well,
but
I like
he's not denouncing that he isn't the fool, but he's just not your every average not the
average, average everyday yeah. fool. I like when he calls the maintenance guy over. Hey, where's their blue car? I don't know.
I don't know.
And then he turns around and walks away. Yeah. He goes, he doesn't know.
Well, he goes, you think you hate the car now. Just wait till you drive it. And I was like, well played. I just find that so funny.
Well, so he ends up with what is pretty, I would say, a pretty iconic, famous 80s movie car now, the Family Truckster. Mm-hmm. Anybody mm-hmm. from the 80s probably knows what the Family Truckster is, that, yeah. that green wood paneled station wagon. Mm-hmm. He brings it home, and the airbag was a garbage bag.
I was going to say it was a brown hefty bag.
They didn't even try. It was clearly a.
And how did he put it back? Because later it goes off again in the movie, and it comes back out the same plastic bag. So he reloaded it. Does Clark have that kind of?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess he's smart.
He seems book smart.
Yeah. So, well, he brings it home, and of course, the kids are like, "That's not really our car, is it?" And the wife doesn't like it. It's still running.
Yeah. Why is it still running? He's like, honey, all new cars do that.
So. I was waiting for the backfire.
But when you go that night, what I was telling, I noticed this. We watched it yesterday again, obviously for the research, and I noticed. They're washing dishes.
Oh, this is awesome.
Beverly D'Angelo, she pushes off the whatever's left on the dish in a bowl, hands it to Clark. Now, the dishwasher's open, but Clark just wipes it quick with a towel and puts it back in the cupboard.
And I read that is Chevy Chase's favorite scene.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he says he said a lot of people miss it. So I missed it the first two times.
So did I.
And then I was reading online.
They are definitely putting dirty dishes back into the cabinets.
And I watched it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. That was just so good. Whoever thought of that, or if that was him, or, you know, just his comedic style, I thought it was really
good. Also in the house, he's got this computer, which, by the way, in 1983, I mean, it looks pretty ghetto now, but in 1983, that would have been like prime time.
He was in the food preservative industry.
Additive. That is correct.
He knows additives and preservatives.
But he comes out and hooks that computer up to that TV, and he does the Family Truckster. And then what did he somehow
say? Hey, kids, you want to see the trip tick?
Yeah. And then somehow Rusty hacks into it, starts playing Pac-Man behind his car.
Rusty,
and then
don't Audrey, eat the truckster.
Yeah. And then Audrey's playing Space Invaders.
Nice shot, Audrey.
Nice shot, Audrey.
Yeah. So, So
real nice, Audrey.
Yeah, real nice, Audrey.
So. I did like the video game system as well.
That was nice.
The Bally Astrocade.
Yes, it was good.
Mm-hmm. When it came out, it cost $300
in 1983.
That's almost $1,500 of today's money.
Oh, easy.
Money.
Yeah.
So I do have a question. So right before they take off, so the next morning they're getting ready to take off, mm-hmm. right? They go to the garage. Mm-hmm. There's two cars in the garage. Mm-hmm. They have the Family Truckster. And they have a very nice, like, new-looking Volvo.
Yeah.
Why don't you just take the Volvo on the trip? It's such a better car. Yeah. It gets better gas mileage. It's one of the safest cars you can drive.
That's Clark's car. He doesn't want to ruin it.
And like he said, a good point out was he was picking up that station wagon for Ellen. So the Volvo's his car. And they're not trying to take that across country.
And the one he traded in was decent. It was in good shape.
Yeah. So. Which is why I'm still not sure why they crushed it immediately. It made no sense. You
resold
it. Yeah, you take a trade-in to resell things, not to make a scrap
pile. They crushed it in like a minute flat.
Without signing any paperwork.
No, he didn't sign anything. Yeah. He just crushed it.
Also, the other thing I can really relate to is as they're getting into the car, Ellen is, you know, she's locking up the house. And she's rattling off all the things that
she's
done.
Talking to those neighbors, right?
Yeah, she's, you know, feed the cat and call the cops, blah, 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 and she's setting all the, and that is every trip when we leave on our trailer, and then she even says, I think I forgot something.
Yeah.
Every time we'll get 20 miles down the road and Paula will say, I think I forgot something. I mean, and then it just the rest of the day, it just bugs her that she thinks she forgot something, but all the laundry list of things you have to do to leave the house for, you know, for 2 weeks. And I was like, nope, we've been there. I've seen it. Yeah, Paula noticed the baggage on the top of the car.
Yeah.
That was, she goes, I saw that before.
Saw that. And they pull out of the garage. It falls off the top of the car.
Yep.
Just idiots.
The luggage they have takes a beating and keeps on ticking, though.
That's
this movie.
Good laundry. That's good. Or good luggage.
It's got to be Slippy Samson.
Slippy
Samsonite? Samsonite.
Knew it started with an S, though.
And it had something, right?
That's it.
So, well, anything else about before they take off on their trip?
No, I got you talked about the computer.
Yeah.
His phrase of there's the dialogue between Clark and Ellen about why they're not just flying.
Yeah.
And his great line is like, getting there's half the fun, honey.
You spend all day with the kids and I get like 30 minutes. I want to spend 30 minutes.
There's some foreshadowing there.
Well, they hit the road. You get the terrible scenario where Clark always has to sing.
Oh, the Mockingbird rendition is awesome.
Can we just turn the radio on?
I know we're Dumb and Dumber stole that one now.
So
I was going to say, is there a better rendition? And I was like, Dumb and Dumber had to have taken from that, right? They had to have been inspired by that.
But being a soundtrack guy, they started with Holiday Road.
Yeah.
And then the kids put their headphones on, they go into the Ramones.
The Ramones, yeah.
So I was going to ask Rob, he's a big soundtrack guy. How did you like the music in this movie?
I thought it was good.
So they queued up some... queued up some good ones, right? So so they start heading down the road. I don't think Clark's a good driver the more I watch him, right? So he falls asleep. He's doing a lot of other things. He's clearly easily distracted when Christie Brinkley's driving around.
Oh, yeah.
But what I did find odd is one of the nights while they're driving, he basically asks Ellen to give him a blowjob while he's driving.
It could have been a handy.
Kids are literally 4 feet from him in the back seat. And then, of course, they end up right on the seat, like looking down, like, hey, what are you doing on there, Mom? Yeah.
Well, her head getting stuck in the wheel. I love the way she always goes,
hey, kids.
Well, and she goes, you get crazy when you get tired. So he's just, do you want to put your head in my lap?
That's not what I mean. Just a rest.
Yeah.
And then he gets the steering wheel stuck or whatever, right?
Yeah, it got stuck accidentally.
I gotta say, I watched this movie and I think the pitch of this movie is supposed to be that Clark Griswold is kind of this everyman's dad. Mm-hmm. Like he really loves his family. Yeah. And I honestly don't think that's true the more I watch it. I think he's kind of an ass. And I think he's actually not that great of a person. He's constantly looking for girls. He's close to willingly wanting to cheat on Beverly D'Angelo. He's constantly soliciting her for, whether the kids are near or not. He's not very nice to everybody they run into. I don't know. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he's a nice guy because it looks like and the way Rusty always kind of shakes off his jokes about jumping in the pool with the naked girl and all that. I think he's been cheating on Ellen before because Rusty's like, oh, what'd you do this time, Dad?
I actually wrote that in my notes. I was like, this doesn't seem like the first time he's tried this sort of thing.
I feel like
just based off Ellen's face when she looks down at
and
him.
And before he even picks up Christie Brinkley, he solicits two other girls in the bar. So it's not like it's an isolated incident. He's looking for a girl at this point.
Yeah.
So, and just bold faced lies after that. Oh, I just go out with this fake family to check on my motels and blah, blah, blah. And so I don't know if Clark's a good dad after all.
When she goes,
it's a shadow of it.
I figured you were going to say you were working for the FBI.
CIA.
And he goes, that old bit. So, he's had that one in the chamber.
Well, before. And then he goes, I would never say, I don't work for them anymore,
Just his hotels and his airline. Does he have an airline?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And these are his brother's kids. Yeah. It's his brother's family.
Let's take it to, there's two scenes I would talk about the most going on this. We'll start in East St. Louis.
Oh.
So he gets
when they're crossing off the freeway. Deep river.
A couple of those songs he's singing. A couple of those songs are not good that he's singing.
No.
Like
this whole part of the movie is the questionable section.
And actually, I read that Harold Ramis said it's the most politically incorrect.
He wished he hadn't done it.
Yeah, because it portrays African Americans as it's an unsafe neighborhood and they're going to steal everything, and so which is kind of what they portray. But this is an awkward scene. They end up. Because, Ellen's like, I don't want to be here. This isn't. And he goes, no, you got to see all parts of the world, honey. She goes, I don't want to see this. And then,
gunshot goes off.
Gunshot. Roll them up.
So, what'd you think of the East St. Louis scene?
I'm going to tell a story. And as I'm saying it, my wife is cringing.
Nice. These are the good ones.
But I don't think it's an inappropriate story. And I will hold to that it's not. I relate to the scene when a couple years ago, we went to a wedding down in Long Beach, California. We're looking for a place to see some music. Somebody says, oh, you should go to this place and this place. And we tell these people, we say, oh, we're going to go down to the Seabird, I think it was called. And they go, and they kind of laugh at us and they go, oh, you're not from around here, are you? And we said, no, we're not. We're actually out of state. And he goes, oh, okay. And they laugh and they walk off. Well, we go down to the Seabird and we're checking in. We're paying our money and everybody ahead of us is getting bracelets. And we get to the guy, and we pay our money, and we hold our hands out to get bracelets. And he goes, "That's cool. I'll remember y'all."
Oh, goodness.
And I go, "Oh, that's cool." So we walk into the Seabird, and here we are the only three white people in the Seabird. And
great
music. Yeah. But, you know, I was like, just the way he looked at us, he goes,
"Did you walk
up? I'll remember y'all."
Did you walk up to any of the patrons and say, "Do you all know the Commodores?"
No, I put that in my notes.
That's terrible.
You know, maybe they know the Commodore.
Because Rusty was asking that question for no apparent reason.
No, that's awful. So awful.
Yeah.
Do you think these guys know the Commodores?
Yeah. So they rolled through East St. Louis. Then you have the the event where they end up at the hotel because Clark falls asleep and magically drives into a hotel.
Can we go back?
Yes, we can go back.
So go back. Yeah, they're talking. The gentleman says, "F your mama."
Yeah.
And he says, "Thank you so much." And he gets in. But then
F your mama.
The other part that I thought was that he rolls around the corner, he goes to talk to this other group, and he starts by saying, "Hey, we're from out of town." And the guy says, "No shit." I just thought, it's so subtle. Clearly out of town. Yeah.
That car is already out of town.
But he goes, "Hey, we're not from out here."
Are those hubcaps they stole really going to be worth anything?
I don't know. But the other thing, there's a scene. I'd seen it somewhere else, but that guy, there's a guy at the when he's talking to the guy at the window. The guy in the background, check it. It looks like he's on a cell phone.
No.
He's got something up to his ear.
1983.
I know. Watch it again and just tell me. What would he have up at? Watch. Just go back and watch it.
It's not a cell phone.
I don't know.
All right.
He looks like he's got a cell phone.
You're just making something up.
And you'll find all kinds of stuff on the internet about it. Anyway. What do we got? We're not from out of town. Yeah, no shit. And then the Commodores. And then,
So, well, then that takes us to the next, I would say, great scene. If that's what you want to call it. So we're going to go visit Cousin Eddie on his farm, right?
Well, they go to the hotel.
They go to the hotel, yeah.
And one of the parts that I like, and that is when the husband and the wife, they're going to get it on. And the bed breaks.
The magic fingers bed.
And they move to the floor.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because the scene where the kids bust in.
Yeah.
And he basically says,
Don't you knock anymore?
And then he comes up pointing his finger, and he's got the bra or panties hanging from his.
She snaps him back.
But then real subtly, they go, "Where's mom?"
"Where's mom?"
They go, "We thought somebody was fighting."
And then they said, "Where's mom?"
And he goes, "There's nobody fighting in here. And then he goes, "Where's mom?" And he gets ready to point like she's somewhere else. And then she goes, "Down here, kids."
She goes, "I'm down here, kids."
And then he subtly pulls his thumb back in and plays it off. But
he knows they're caught.
My favorite line in that is as they're walking out, he goes, "The bed was very soft."
It was very soft. We slept on the floor.
Weirdorama is what she says. But yeah, the way he says
the kids act like they don't actually know what's going on.
And they're 14-ish.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael's 14. I'm going to guess she's a year or so younger. So she's 13. They can't be that oblivious. Yeah.
I read that in the short story that this was based off, he's supposed to be 12.
Okay.
But
Maybe they're innocent.
But later in the movie, he talks about, "I've only been a man a couple of days." I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
and I believe in the short story and the movie, they actually flip-flopped the kids.
She was older.
Because he was so much taller. They're like, we're going to make him
the older one. The older one.
The bed was very soft for us.
That's right.
So, anyway. Well, now we get to Cousin Eddie's farm.
No, they went to Dodge City.
They went
first.
To Dodge City.
Well, yeah. Dodge City's, there's not, it's okay. There's not that much going on.
My favorite line in that, though, is when he's getting after the bartender. The bartender shoots him, shoots him, and he pops back up. But where she goes, "Are you happy now?" She's deaf. And he basically was like, that's okay.
Back to more of Clark not actually being a good father.
Because it reminds me of when he was in Christmas Vacation, where he's like,
her eyes froze shut.
She can't feel her legs.
She'll see it later.
That's okay.
Yeah. She's numb from the waist down, Clark.
Yeah, he just goes, "It was fun."
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
I will say then, following that, right after Dodge City, there's some other things in there that I related to. So they're reading the map. They're arguing in the back seat. I'm like, that's every family trip.
Trying to fold the map. Nobody has ever been able to fold the map.
Everything was great. We're fine. And then you get in the middle of Nebraska or whatever, and everybody's hating each other, and you're hot, and there's AC, and you're, now the parents are kind of starting to bicker.
You're saying the truckster doesn't have AC?
Come on.
The truckster had to have. We had a 1981 Ford Fairmont, no AC, AM radio, windows only rolled halfway down in the back. It was, So I relate a little bit.
We get to Cousin Eddie's farm.
In Kansas.
And this obviously becomes a little weird. There's a lot of weird things here. So we'll save some of these for quotes. We can't go shot for shot here because we've got some of our categories. Yeah. But what I will say is a couple things that I find interesting now that I'm older. When they say the French kiss line, she says, "But my dad says I'm best at it." Do we feel like that's a little too casual with the, father, daughter, whatever assault thing you want to call that? Or I don't know what it is, but I feel like that's just too easy of a throwaway joke for something like that, right?
My favorite is just the pause of silence after she says it.
Yeah.
And they just see the two faces as they're going up and down on the teeter totter.
Well, it was well timed.
Yeah. Super awkward.
Really good timing.
Yeah.
And they let the awkwardness sit.
Because I think even as the viewer, you do the same thing. It takes you a minute to go,
But even in 83, is that funny? Like, are you laughing?
I don't know.
It feels grimy the whole time you hear it, right? So, but it
fits the narrative of that family.
It does. Mm-hmm. But then also that cousin, when he talks to him about bopping his baloney, he says, a guy showed me this cool thing
last year.
What guy is what are we talking about here?
The first few times when I was little, that's one of those things. I was like, oh my God, what did he just say? I had to pause it and go,
a guy showed me. So,
he's working out his wrists. Yeah,
his dialogue, are we led to believe that he possibly was showing Rusty after that while Rusty's on the farm visit?
Maybe that's why Rusty a few days later is a man.
Yeah, there you go. He's a man now.
He's only been a man for a couple of days.
Wow.
A couple of days. And it was right after they left the cousin's house.
That's funny. So, I didn't. That's good.
He knows how to use a magazine now.
Yeah. And the
thing that I could relate to that movie is you've been on the road for days. You finally get to your relative's house. That scene of them meeting in the front yard. That was was us going to Edgemont, South Dakota, and we'd been driving for days. We finally get to the house, and then you have to. It's weird to meet your cousins because only see them once every couple years.
Then you got
to
go play with their worm farm.
But the story I was going to tell is we went to Edgemont, South Dakota. It was in high school, so and we were old enough to go, go free. You know, the aunts, uncles all said, just go hang out with your cousins. Well, one of the cousins could drive now, so we went to a party out in the back of some barn.
Nice.
Edgemont, South Dakota is out in the middle of nowhere.
Did they remember y'all there too?
Well, so I'm with my cousin, a female, and these two girls ride up on horses. It was a fairly attractive girl. And the first phrase out of my mouth is, "I like your horsey."
Oh, nice. I mean, that's solid.
It wasn't "save a horse, ride a cowboy."
No, it was "I like your horsey."
That would have been good.
That sounds right.
That would have been a trip back in time because that song wasn't out yet. Well, we'd have been inventing the ride a cowboy.
That whole juxtaposition of the city kid and the farm, and I was like, oh.
Horsey.
Yeah. I like your horsey.
So once, what an idiot. Yeah. So once they leave the farm, they inherit Aunt Edna. And I like this rest stop scenario. He sees Christy Brinkley again. And he starts dancing with the sandwich, which, by the way, is my wife's favorite thing in the whole movie.
It's totally improv.
But what I find interesting is if you look at, because I paused and looked at it, Christy Brinkley is drinking a Löwenbräu beer in the parking lot next to the Ferrari while he's dancing around with the sandwich.
Yeah.
So she's just drinking a beer at the rest stop.
I like how she's just dancing around and the truckers are just standing there staring at her.
And there's a trucker in the driver's seat.
He's sitting in the car.
Of the Ferrari. Yeah. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, she just likes to meet new people.
She does. She's very friendly. I don't know. So, and then, of course, you've got the dog on the sandwich. I did notice when they stay overnight, it was on top of his car the whole time, but they're going to those cabins. Yeah. At the thing, and he's carrying golf clubs. Why does he have golf clubs? Why did he even bring golf clubs on this trip in the first place?
I'm sure he had a tea time set up in California when he got there.
And that would fit your narrative of his agenda, right? Yeah. He's going to find time to golf.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Why is he bringing him into the campsite? Like, is he golfing there? There's no golf next to the river right there. So I just thought it was odd he had golf clubs.
That's funny.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
That whole interaction at the campground. Another really subtle one. I don't know why I find it funny is when he goes, they dicker about the price. And then he goes, well, they're very nice tents.
They're very, nice, they're tents. Very nice tents.
And they include and the scenery and wildlife fun.
Fun.
And then later he...
Do you need my address?
Yes. We sent like to send out mailers.
What do you need my address for? And he says, we like to send out a mailer. And just his delivery accent, of that, yeah. I'm like, it smacks to me of like that was not scripted.
No.
Like that was his just immediate, you know...
First thing he thought of.
He was, you know, Chevy Chase was trying to catch Murray off guard and... That was his like comedic answer. It was just like I chuckle at it every time.
Oh yeah,
I just found it interesting how when they first meet Edna, she's walking out of the house with a walker, and then she's like traipsing up a hill to get to the car
easily. Yeah. Well, Edna's but every awesome. Time she's walking after that, Rusty always has her by the arm. Why? Yeah. Why does he have to drag her around? Well, I don't understand.
My
what's
wife
going on.
Was laughing at when they're loading up. Yeah, you're tearing my flesh. Just the way she yelled it. Was like, you're tearing my flesh.
So
I will have to tell you another story. I like the scene in the tent where Clark's trying to get frisky with old Ellen.
And she can like, hardly breathe.
She's like, just there's not enough room.
Yeah.
And in this one man sleeping bag or whatever. And for our wedding, my dad got us two sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
And he made it a point.
Oh, my goodness.
My mom's going to love this. He made it a point to point out that you can put these sleeping bags together and make one sleeping bag so that we could make whoopee.
Yes.
And have you ever done it?
Did they use the word whoopee?
I don't know if we've
ever you have three kids. I know the whoopee part. Have you ever put the sleeping bags together?
We've done it three times.
There you go.
That I know of.
Exactly. That you were there for.
Yeah, that I was there
for. No immaculate conception in any of those?
It's possible.
All right.
Your kids are angels.
So we still tell that story. Moving this along because we can't go for every thing
we
here.
We can.
We can try.
It's worth it.
Let's go ahead and jump to the dog scene.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
So he ties this dog to the back of the bumper, which, by the way, he was not latched to the back of that bumper. If you watch the scene,
it almost
the leash
off.
Comes completely off almost, but we'll be let that be what it is. So he obviously drags the dog to death, and the cop stops them, and he apologizes or whatever. But I read something interesting that the crew, that scene was based on, the crew actually saw a dog tied to a bumper in Colorado, and they stopped the driver before he took off. So they actually saved the dog's life. But in the movie, they dragged the dog to death. But I didn't understand the cop. The cop says, I had a pooch like this when I was a kid. He didn't see that dog. It's just a red smear on the side of the road.
That whole scene, though, is messed up.
How did he, I don't know what that dog looked like. There's no chance you knew what that dog looked like.
I read that.
Or was he trailing, watching it run, and he didn't stop them? Like,
I didn't put two and two together until I watched it probably the third time, and my wife was like, why didn't you notice that? But when he goes, Ellen, do you hear that rattling sound?
Yeah.
Like, I did not put together that he was hearing
the leash banging until
I watched
it
the second time, and I went, oh, that's what he's hearing.
So, yeah, I read that scene, the cop and Chevy Chase,
all
improv.
All improv.
And the part where they look like they're trying, they're almost crying, it's because they were trying not to laugh so hard.
And when you watch it again through that lens, it's even funnier.
Yeah.
Like,
at the very end, when he's walking back towards the car, you can both see him almost lose it and start laughing.
Well, like when the cop would look off into the distance, and then Chevy Chase would look off into the distance, like trying to just keeping it together, and that little kept up for a mile or two,
and then his legs just gave out.
Tough little mutt.
Well, a couple other facts I want to jump up before we jump into our categories, and we could talk more about the movie and the categories. Wally World was at Magic Mountain in California.
Yeah.
That's where it was filmed. The original story actually was about Disneyland.
Yeah.
But to avoid legal troubles, they changed it. And Roy Wally actually looks exactly like Walt Disney, if you look at pictures.
Oh, yeah. They did a nice job.
So the family truckster was created for this film. That is not a car that exists. It's based on a 1983 Ford LTD County Squire.
And to go back, I think Walt Disney's brother's name was Roy Disney.
Yes, it
was Roy Disney. So yeah. So they tied all that together. So, fun fact, may not be related, may just a fact that happened. Shortly after the movie was released, station wagon sales plummeted.
Yeah. I did hear that.
Replaced by minivans shortly after that. So I don't know if people watched this and decided station wagons don't look cool anymore, but that was it. So the original ending had Clark driving to Roy Wally's house and shooting him in the leg, forcing him to sing and dance at gunpoint. Audiences hated the pre-screening.
So they just saved that for Christmas vacation.
So, and this movie was nominated for two Golden Globes. Best Motion Picture in the comedy category and Best Actor for Chevy Chase in the comedy category. Did not win the Golden Globes, but was nominated. So something fun and extra in there. So before we jump into our categories, do you got anything else?
No. Just that I think there's some really good stuff that happened in the Arizona scene that were just super great. That will come up later, I think, in some of our scenes.
Can bring it up in your categories.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the Aunt Edna dying will be coming up as well. So that's one of my favorites.
That is one of the favorites. So I just don't know how long she was dead for.
Well,
I know. She's asleep in that back seat for a long time.
And well,
had to have been since Flagstaff.
Well, and then her clothes are changed at some point. So if she's dead, they changed her clothes, or I don't know what's going on. But
she moves from the outside seat to the middle seat in between the kids.
Yeah, like they're moving her around, so she can't be all the way dead. They're
just pushing her.
So I will say one last subtle funny thing is when he jumps the car off the broken road and it lands, Rusty goes, "Hey, Dad, you must have cleared like 50 feet on that jump." And he goes, "It's nothing to be proud of, Russ." But then he smiles, this little smirk, 50 yards.
50 yards. And then he chuckles. So that's one of my favorites.
That is where Clark, again, is such a terrible person because a terrible scenario has happened. And he's thinking about, I did jump that 50 yards. Yeah. So he's really, really excited about it. So,
And then when Aunt Edna dies, one of my favorite things he says, he talks about, you know, I don't want to get caught up in a funeral and an inquest and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, he's more concerned because we could still have 3 days.
Wally World. So we're only going to have three days.
Back to Dave's narrative about him being a jerk.
A jerk. And he's not a good dad, but we're going to pretend that he is a good dad. When we do National Christmas Vacation at some point, we can talk about how he's not a good dad. It's multiple times. So, let's go ahead and jump into our categories. So we've got 10 different categories, and we'll start with our first one, which is usually the easiest one, but I'm sure Rob will find a way to make it as interesting as possible. So we'll start with Kurt ask you, who is your favorite character in this movie?
I went with Ellen Griswold.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yes, because she has to put up with that husband.
Yeah, she's keeping it together really
now,
well.
Now, and there might be a little bit because she is quite an attractive lady as well.
Yeah, she is.
Yep.
For 80s.
We do get an Ellen boob shot in this movie.
Several boob shots.
Yep, multiple when she's jumping in the pool.
Mm-hmm. And she's got good boobs.
I also like the part where she just puts Aunt Edna in her place and just threatens to split her lip.
Get out of that seat. No,
the only question I have about Ellen is after this is why I think he's been cheating before. After the skinny dipping, he comes upstairs. She forgives him in like 2 seconds.
She apologizes to him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Like, how did he pull that off?
Yeah.
Well, and immediately
15 minutes, he's skinny dipping with her.
Yeah, and immediately they're in the pool naked together again. And I'm like, we're all married here. If those were our wives, that situation doesn't go down like that.
I put that in my notes. I was like, our wives would all be looking for lawyers. Oh, and my wife works for lawyers, so I'd be in trouble.
Oh, my goodness. No. Yes.
My favorite line in that was when he comes up and he goes, she goes, "Is that what you want?" And he goes, No. She's ugly.
Yeah. She's ugly.
And the way he said it, I was laughing. And my wife goes, "That sounds like something you would say."
Ellen, very good. You got anything else on Ellen?
Nope. That's what I got for Ellen.
All right. I hesitantly shift towards Rob to say, Rob, what is your favorite character in this movie?
I went with Clark Griswold.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, I did.
The terrible person in the movie.
And here's why. And
please tell me.
We can make an argument that he's an absolute jerk.
Yes.
But I found this great list on doofusdad.com.
That sounds like something you got bookmarked.
Yeah. But it says, top 8 reasons why Clark Griswold is the quintessential doofus dad. And talked about his enthusiasm, his flirtation with a pretty woman, which he talks about how the tendency is counteracted by the fact that most of us are far too awkward and unskilled to do anything about it. If we did, we'd be so racked with guilt that we would never carry it through. They talk about his fantasies. He's got his good intentions. He does have good intentions. He wants to get his family on this trip. His tendency to view himself as cool, his pride in his work, his need to make everything perfect. But then the quote that I liked is his love of his family. It says, this is what makes Clark the quintessential doofus dad. We all love our families and they love us, regardless of the fact that all humans are essentially train wrecks, no matter how perfect we appear on social media. When Audrey tries to consult Clark during the Christmas light debacle in a different movie.
Different movie.
Yes. The little moment perfectly encapsulates the experience of being a doofus dad. We try our best. We occasionally screw up, and our families love us anyway.
No, and there's a difference between a doofus dad and Clark. If Clark doesn't get caught at the hotel, he's going to have sex with Christie Brinkley. Like, and then he'll just apologize to Ellen later. I mean, he's not a good dad. I don't care, doofus or otherwise. Bad dad. So,
I don't know.
Well,
I think I just relate to him because I don't know that I get it right all the time as a dad husband. And
yeah, but
I don't know that I would go that far.
No,
you know,
I would hope not.
But the story I always tell about my own dad, I remember one time my dad going, I would never cheat on your mother. When would I have time to cheat on your mother? And we're like, so it's not that you wouldn't. You just don't have the time.
You
right?
just don't and have so, the opportunity.
And I know that's not what my dad meant, but you know, I think.
I got you. You know. Well, my favorite is Rusty. I love Rusty. I think Rusty's keeping a lot of this together. He's always there to talk dad down when he's got certain problems going on. He's got some quick one-liners. He's kind of dealing with Audrey at the same time. So for me, it's Rusty. Rusty's a lot of fun. He's, like I said, he seems to be like a calming voice sometimes. And he doesn't take any of Clark's dumb nonsense. He'll say something to somebody who goes, like swimming in a pool naked with a random girl, you know? So
how do you think mom's going to take
he's
that?
Like, Russ, how are you, why are you, what are you doing up? You woke up the hotel screaming, dad. So, you know, but, yeah, so,
yeah,
well, that takes us to category two, favorite supporting character. So this is someone who doesn't have maybe as much screen time, but had an impact on you. So, Rob, we'll let you go first.
No, that's a good segue because I went with Rusty as my supportive.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
He's in every scene. That's not really supportive.
But originally the script we talked about is a short story called Vacation 58. It was written from Rusty's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to change it, you know, before the movie.
I also,
a lot of things you said, he's so supportive. I said, despite Clark's buffoonery, Rusty sees his dad as a hero. For example, at the bar, in Dodge City, he's telling those stupid jokes and he's laughing. You know, he's like, "Hey, lizard lips, or whatever." And Rusty's just sitting there laughing. Yeah. He's just laughing at all of his jokes.
Oh yeah.
And then like when he gets the shoes from Uncle Eddie, you know, and he and you hear Rusty in the back going, "Dad, those are great." You know, so he's just and he defends them sometimes. Like when they got lost in Arizona, Audrey's giving Dad a rash of crap, and he goes, "Shut up, Aubrey. Don't you think Dad knows where he's going?"
So he
looks at his dad as this hero, despite, you know, and I think Rusty knows he's a complete moron, but he supports him.
We have a category next called favorite quote, and you just go on a rampage stealing people's quotes. You could describe Rusty without stealing all the quotes. For some reason, no, you're done talking.
No,
and
when
he's going to take away more
when
things.
He goes through Aunt Edna's purse, you know, he just does it. Dad just gives him the head nod, like, go ahead, Rusty. And he does it. He does it. He's trying to please his dad, and I think that's what all dads want, is they want. They want to know that their kids think that they're great.
They're great.
Yeah. And Russ does that.
All right. My supporting character is, of course, Cousin Eddie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he served our country.
He did.
Even though he's getting his benefits reduced because his plate is not big enough.
And then he smashes the beer can against his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Well later on, they have to change it to plastic.
They do.
Christmas Vacation. He's a great dresser. He is a great dresser.
He does. Huh? And he's fit.
He is fit.
Clark does say you're looking fit. Really fit.
Yes,
he's willing to share. I mean, he gives him the last half of his beer before he opens a new one.
That's right.
Let's see here. He's a great cook, and I mean, nobody can toast a bun on a barbecue like
that's
him.
Right.
Not like him.
What else do I got here?
What does he say to him?
He was a hard worker until he got laid off at the asbestos factory.
Yeah, and now they're taking the farm.
That's right. He makes his own ketchup because nothing but the best.
Nothing but the best, Clark.
And he's going to let Catherine quit one of the...
Quick one of her night jobs.
One of her night jobs.
Since her baby's born.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's...
Yeah.
I also put he was very thoughtful because he remembered that Clark said he liked his shoes, so he bought him his own pair.
Yeah. One could make the argument that Eddie is a better
father. No, you cannot. He's already excluded when he's French kissing his daughter.
Yes,
you are excluded.
I mean, tomato.
Not tomato.
You turn the tomatoes into ketchup, but you don't kiss your daughter.
Nope, that's it. Yeah, you're done.
All right.
He's out of the conversation.
I guess that's where we draw the line.
Yes, we draw the line.
We got to draw the line somewhere.
Yes.
Yes. Pedophilia, we draw the line. That's okay.
Incestuous pedophilia.
So, my favorite supporting character is Lasky, the security guard played by John Candy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to pick him.
He only had a couple minutes, obviously, in this movie, but he's hilarious. He's got a lot of great quotes. they give him the best day he's ever had in his life in the in the park.
He gets shot in the ass.
He gets shot in the butt. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Lasky's great. I almost had Eugene Levy. I really liked him too as the car salesman. I'll go with that. So that brings us to.
I read somewhere for Lasky that they paid him $1 million.
Oh wow!
To do that part.
John Candy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's because they had to call him in 3 months after shooting because they had to change the ending.
Yeah, because the test scenes, people didn't like it. And so they had to bring him in to boost up the...
Well, that segues me to my favorite quote because it involves John Candy. Oh, man. And I like it. It's kind of a little dialogue, but it is what it is. He's talking to Rusty on the roller coaster and he goes, "Has your father ever killed anyone?" And Rusty says so easily, "Just a dog. Oh, and my Aunt Edna." Then Clark says, "Hey, you can't prove that, Rusty."
Yeah.
So I really like that. Yeah. It's funny. The way, again, just so easy, Rusty's like, "Just a dog and my Aunt Edna." No, you know. So that's my favorite quote.
Oh, man. Do you have yours queued up?
I got mine ready to go. All right. So it's after they leave Dodge City. They're in the car. And Ellen says, "Clark, let's just skip that house of mud. I think Dodge City was enough for one day. Besides, Catherine and Eddie are expecting us." And then Clark says, "It's living history, Ellen. But if you'd rather see your cousins, it's okay by me." Yeah. Personally, I would rather see a pile of mud than Eddie.
Yeah.
I would too.
Gosh, a lot of good ones. I think I'm going to go with after they drop off, I'm going to use some profanity. Oh. After they drop Edna off and they're in the car and he does one of his tirades and he says, she says, "You know, what are you thinking, Clark?" And he says, "I think you're all fucked in the head."
Oh, yeah.
"We're 10 hours from fucking Fun Park and you want to bail out? Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. You're going to have fun and I'm going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun. We're going to need plastic surgery to move our goddamn smiles.
Yes.
We'll be whistling zippity-doo-dah out of our assholes. I must be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose." Holy shit.
Holy shit.
And then and then the son goes, "Dad, do you want an aspirin?"
Yeah, he always has one of those.
And then what does Clark say? And then he goes, "Don't touch.
Don't touch. Like, don't touch.
Don't touch." Yes.
I apologize for the profanity.
Yeah, a couple others I saw. We don't have to apologize for profanity, Rob. Right. We're adults. It's okay. I like this one. It was subtle, but he just came out of the desert, and she's on the phone, Ellen, and she says, "Well, I'm not sure of his exact height and weight. All I know is the man is a saint with children and a genius with food additives."
See?
So that was a good one. Yeah. And then I liked when they had their accident and Rusty goes, "I think I stabbed my brain." And while you're laughing at that, Audrey goes, "I just got my period."
Yes. Well, and then he goes, "I'm going to check under the hood."
Yeah.
They just bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam,
bam. I had one after they drop off Aunt Edna and he does like a quick little eulogy. And he goes, "Oh God, ease our suffering in this, our moment of great despair. Yea, admit this good and decent woman into thine arms and the flock in thine heavenly area up there. And Moab, he laid it down by the band of the Canaanites."
He doesn't even know what he's saying.
Though the Hindus speak of karma, I implore you, give her a break.
Give her a
break. Barugata, hallelujah. And then Ellen goes, Clark, this is a serious matter. I'll do it myself. And Clark goes, "Honey, I'm not an ordained minister. I'm doing my best, okay?"
That's pretty good.
The other one I liked is after they'd lost all their money, somehow they bought some sandwiches at the gas station. And he goes, "I'm so hungry, I could eat a sandwich from a gas station." And he laughs at his own joke. And I'm just like, that's pretty funny.
Rusty and Cousin Dale. Rusty goes, "You got asteroids?" "No, my dad does. And he can hardly sit on the toilet some days."
Well, and early on in the movie, when they went to that first hotel stay where we saw the first boob scene, he does the slasher shower scene, you know, and he pulls the thing back and he goes, "Could I do your back, honey?" And she goes, "I've already done my back." And he says, "Could I do your front?" And she says, "Go do your own front." Your own. But then the best part of that is the look on his face as he pulls the shower curtain closed, like, But anyway.
There was one, it's not a great line. It's a line where I was like, what? Why did he say this? Yeah. They're getting in the truckster in the garage. Mm-hmm. And one of the neighbors just randomly goes, watch out for Indians, Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? And I even said that to my wife, and she goes, "Well, they're driving across the plains. Maybe west? That's what he meant. Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, that's one of those lines
very well.
No. Yeah. On that same kind of like, why did they say that? Is when they were at the Dodge City Saloon.
Mm-hmm.
And they get greeted by that Wyatt Earp character, and he goes
in running shoes,
and Rusty goes, "That was a crummy Wyatt Earp, Dad. He was wearing jogging shoes." And Clark's response is, "They used to, Rusty.
Yeah. Used to, Rusty. Yeah.
What does that even like?
He again, he's an idiot, throwing them away so that he doesn't have to explain things. That's all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a ton of good quotes in this one.
I don't give a those frog's are some, fat ass.
Oh yeah,
I like that
one. So yeah, you could go on for days with those quotes, but well, that takes us to our fourth category: favorite scene or event. I've got the hotel scene. I like the screaming, waking up the whole motel, skinny dipping with Christie Brinkley. And then, of course, Rusty's sarcasm where he's like, "What are you doing up, Rusty?" Like I said earlier, and he goes, "You screamed and woke up the hotel, yeah. The whole hotel, Dad." So, and then like Audrey's pretending to like smoke weed and he's like, "Knock it off, Audrey." Inhale. So, but anyway, so yeah, that's my favorite. The hotel scene's funny from start to finish, even though he's trying to cheat on his wife, but yeah. We'll get over that part. So.
The dog scene is hilarious, but the subtle one that I really like is when he's having the man-to-man talk after they've jumped the car 50 yards and he's going, "I've spent the last 15 years of my life developing newer and better food additives. I guess I've missed an awful lot. At first, I didn't want to take this vacation, but now I'm glad I did. It's given me a chance to spend a lot more time with you and Rusty goes, "Audrey?"
Audrey?
Audrey. Yeah, that's Audrey. It.
That's her.
And then he is about going, "Good talk, son." But the thing I really liked about that I just thought was comedic genius was his broken glasses.
Yeah.
Where he pulls them out of it, two pieces out of his coat pocket. He puts them on his face, and then as he's talking, they're falling.
No, they just fall off,
and they just keep going. He doesn't even lose never loses a beat. And I just think it's so good, so funny. But anyway, the way it's hanging on his ear. And,
My favorite scene. I think I'm right there with your wife. It's the sandwich, the dancing.
Oh, and then
my favorite part is where she goes, "Oh my God, the dog wet on the sandwiches." And then Edna looks at it and then just keeps eating it. And my only thought was, she's been eating Eddie's food for a year. That's no problem.
It's no big deal. Little urine, dog urine won't hurt anything. What was her dog's name?
You forgot
already.
I wrote it down.
Dinkus.
No, that's your name, Dinkus. No.
We're telling you the name. It's Dinky.
No, I know. That's what he said, but...
Here we go.
No.
He's got more details.
I wrote it down somewhere.
He's probably got like a whole backstory on the dog. It was a stray they found.
And, on the sandwich, I liked her. He was like smacking himself in the face and he's, you know, showing her the meat.
And can't smell the dog pee at all.
He thinks that's like
sexy
and alluring. So I don't know. That's an odd choice.
She was getting into it.
She was. She's drinking beer in a parking lot with truckers. So she probably doesn't know what's going on. She's just speeding around in this Ferrari. So
her decision making.
Another scene I really liked is where he's trying to figure out how to fill up the gas tank.
Oh yeah,
and he throws the license.
Did you read about that?
That was he accidentally threw it. He just meant to rip it off, not throw it. So his shock when he puts his hands up on his head is completely real, and he's got a little smile on his face. He's like, "Oh crap, what did I do?"
He almost hit that extra next to him. So
again, when he's doing that gas, the way he's got himself wrapped up in
the hose
and he just does that so well. And then when she finds it and goes, "Honey, it's up here." And he goes, yeah, I know. Just get back in the car. And I'm like, I've been there where I've trying to figure something out and I don't want to look stupid. I'm like, I'm just fixing this thing back here. But I totally knew about that. And,
all right. Anyway. Well, this is always the tough one for you here. Rob, best location in the film, category 5.
It kind of counts as a scene and a location, but I thought for me, there's a lot of good scenes, but this is the one that you're probably going to think is the stupidest one.
I'm sure.
I got to have one. Is the rest stop. That rest stop scene for me.
Yeah.
You could pause that and take a screenshot.
I've done it 100 times.
And we have done that. That is our that was our family. My mom had the cooler sitting there. We had the tablecloth. We're sitting at a picnic at a rest stop. I could hear the silverware. My mom always had a little thing of silverware. It's sandwiches. That was our family.
Rob, we all did that in the 80s. All stopped at the rest stop and ate. You didn't buy food. Bring food with you.
Yeah,
no, that's as my dad said, it's cheaper. So,
and then I look at it differently now going as a 12-year-old kid on the trip. Oh, it's fun. And now the first time we took our family on a road trip from now that I had my own kids and we went back to Sioux Falls, I remember getting back home and almost wanting to call my dad up and going, "I'm so sorry. Like, No. No. Now I know, and so I see you know Chevy Chase at the, and he's tired and he's grumpy and he's you know, because he's been on the road.
Yeah, he's so grumpy. And he's flirting with Christie Brinkley across a parking lot.
So I'm like,
not paying attention to his family at all during lunch.
Well, and then Rusty's getting eaten by the dog, you know, or chewed on by the dog.
Playing with the dog, Rusty.
Yeah.
So
now that location for me is.
What's your best location?
I went with Dodge City.
Oh, nice.
It seems one of the few times where the family's all getting along, you know, until Audrey, you know, loses her hearing.
That's all good.
But I love the cowboy hat that he buys Rusty.
Yes.
Too small.
Too small.
His head's way too big for that hat.
And the one he buys for himself seems too big.
It's too big.
He doesn't know what he's doing. So,
but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went with the Grand Canyon. It looks good, but what I really like is you drive all that way and then he just like, yep, looks great. Let's get in the car and go.
Well, he just stole money out of a till, so
he's got to go.
He put the check in there. It's not really stolen.
My favorite part of that scene, I actually wrote it down, was it's super subtle again, but where he's like, okay, everybody get in the car. And she's like, well, don't you want to see the Grand Canyon? And he puts his hand around, and the little head bob he does. Two head bobs in the car.
It's a big hole. We've all seen big holes before. So I've always said that. Laurel's never seen the Grand Canyon, and I've seen it. I've been there because my grandparents lived in Arizona. And I'm like, if you've seen a picture of it, you've kind of seen the Grand Canyon. Yeah. It's not as exciting as you think it is. So
the only time we went through Arizona, we went to stop, and it was like spring break, so April for us up here, and snowed out. Couldn't get in. It was
couldn't get there.
Snow down there.
But. So it's what you imagine it is. It's a big hole.
Yep.
So category 6, favorite vehicle. I went with the red Ferrari 308 GTSI. Not only is it a great vehicle, but Christie Brinkley's driving it, so it's a 2-for-1.
2-for-1.
Well, and at the time, right, you had Magnum PI. And he was driving that, and I just remember that.
Wasn't that Clark's gun?
Yeah, that was the Magnum PI. That's funny. That was a killer car. But I remember, catching that was the car of the 80s.
Oh, you know, you had great car
posters of it, and
Oh yeah.
So anyway.
So that was my vehicle.
Had the good license plate. Love me. Apparently, there was truckers loving her.
Truckers, everybody's loving her. She's a woman of the people.
That's right.
That's right. So
the other part about that one. She passes him that one time, and Ellen says, "You know, you're going 80 miles an hour," and he goes, "Oh, it doesn't feel like
it. Feel like it."
And then she goes, "Slow down." And then the little song he sings where he goes, "Love for sale,
yeah,
yummy, yummy, love for sale." You know, the way he says it, he's so sad. But anyway, I went with the truckster.
Of course,
so did I.
Okay. The double trucksters,
and I purposely put the Wagon Queen family truckster, not the Antarctic Super Sports wagon with the CB optional rally fun pack.
Nice.
It's a damn fine automobile.
I wrote it takes a beating and keeps on going.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was built on the 1979 Ford LTD. We talked about that. It was actually designed by George Barris. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. He did the original Batmobile and the Monsters Mobile. Lots of things about it. It was metallic green, extensive imitation wood paneling decals, 8 headlights.
Yep. Yes.
The second pair was taken from a Crown Vic.
The Crown Vic strikes again.
I thought his vehicle was going to be the tow truck because they couldn't have got to Wally World if they hadn't gotten towed.
I tried to find an obscure vehicle. There weren't a whole lot.
It's the truckster. Yeah. It's the truckster or the Ferrari. Those are the two main.
I went with the wagon just because we had a wagon.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember it very clearly. It was white, wood paneling, had a Seahawks bumper sticker on the back. So after we sold it, anytime I saw that bumper sticker, I knew that one was ours.
Oh,
there you go. Because they kept it on there.
I remember my dad doing that. Like, we'd see the car and go, oh, that's our old car. Yeah, that's fine. A little fun fact on this. In the opening credits of Married with Children, when the camera pans back from the on-ramp, you can see the family truckster on the ramp. It's the same footage from the movie, when the Ramones begin the play. Both Married with Children and Vacation are set at least partially in Chicago and is the family's hometown at both shows.
Yeah. Stock footage costs less.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then a new shot.
The 50 feet, there was a bet. Did you hear that?
They said the stunt man.
They're like, you can't jump at 50 feet. Yeah. He won the bet because he jumped it farther.
Nice. So, well, category 7, least favorite character. Rob doesn't seem to like this one.
No, this is my choice is dumber.
Well, mine's probably dumber too, but I went with Cousin Dale. I don't even think Cousin Dale needs to be in this movie. I don't like his half shirt. I don't like his, And he says he's got this stack of nudie magazines. I'm looking at them. They're from like 1950. I don't know.
He
like
cherishes them.
He's like, yeah.
Collector's items.
Collector's items.
Although they've been used.
I use them a lot. I use them a lot.
He's hanging out somewhere with guys learning how to bop bologna. I'm just not a fan of Dale. His slick back hair is not working for me. I don't need Dale in this movie. We can just extract him. At least Jane Krakowski's character, although she's French kissing her dad, she has grown a bunch of weed that she can hand out to people and stuff. Dale serves no purpose in this
movie. He's got a worm farm.
I don't care about his worms.
Another Dumb and Dumber reference,
apparently. Apparently they watched this movie. So, all right, Kurt, least favorite character.
I went with Dinky the dog.
Oh, nice.
Oh, good. Well, mine's not as dumb.
So they got rid of your least favorite character. That's good.
All it did was attack people. It's a dumb dog.
It wasn't a nice dog.
Yeah.
No, we're not advocating for dogs to die here now on our pod, but just in this case, we didn't need to Dinky around anymore.
That's true. I just said it was a real bitch of a dog. Always attacking and biting people.
Was it a female?
We don't know. I think it's a play on words, Rob.
Okay. It was.
Yeah. So, and what do you got, Rob?
Marty Moose.
The jewel of where they're going is your least favorite character?
Yes, because I am going to say here something that is unpopular, present company.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of the whole Disney thing. Oh. I just can't get into it.
All right.
My wife has wanted to go for years, and the idea of standing in line Disney. And traveling that far and spending that much money to stand in line and look at a stupid mouse. I wanted to punch the mouse in the face like you punched. So he drove 2,460 miles, and I said to wait in the heat. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing
that. By the way, real quick, what is this business model that you closed for cleaning for 2 weeks in the summer? That would be your busiest theme park time. That's like an October, November activity. And from what I know of Disneyland, since you hate it, they don't close the whole park. They just pick rides to clean, and that ride is down.
Yeah.
The park is still open. So Marty Moose or Roy Wally here, not a good business plan to have that closed.
Losing some money.
And the obliviousness to think, we're the first ones here. No one else is at the park today.
No one.
They're just first there.
So we're just first there. So.
Yeah. No, that, yes, that's...
All right, so you hate the moose.
He represents, I just...
All right. Okay. That's flawed, but yes.
I just cannot get into it.
Least believable event, most outrageous event within the movie, Kurt.
I went with the sleep driving for the extended period of time.
I also went with the sleep driving. Yeah. Extended period. Come on, everybody's dead.
Everybody's dead. They're going over curbs. They're riding up on sidewalks.
He misses a dog by 6 inches.
Yeah, that was great. That guy yanked that leash and that dog flew into his arms.
Hell yeah. So
with a
And he ends up in a motel parking lot. And it's so ridiculous. It's trying to be funny, but they'd just all be dead. Everyone.
I read that in the scene where they're going through some part of town and the gentleman's walking out of like a cafe.
Yeah.
And he almost gets hit. That guy is a stuntman, but he also played one of the dudes driving the truck at the beginning of Christmas Vacation.
He's
one of the same guys.
So. Nice.
Anyway. My least believable event is the whole pool scene with Christy Brinkley.
Why is it least believable?
Because it happens all the time. Right.
Tommy Boy, they do it too.
I found this quote and I really like it. It said, Clark represents all of us guys who see ourselves as how we once were. We can't help it. We still think of ourselves as college age players with full heads of hair who know all the hip slang, current bands, and cutting edge fashions. Except we're not, and we don't. And even if we were, it would be a little weird and creepy. Even though Clark uses phrase like later dude in a different movie, he still dresses like a dad who was raised in the 1950s and prefers to sing Joy to the World and Mockingbird even over any current songs. He chooses flannel shirts with Christmas sweaters over the slick fashion of his narcissistic neighbors. So just the idea that he could even...
You keep bleeding two movies together.
We're not talking about the Christmas one. No, but I think we have... There's crossover. Absolutely. He's the same character. He does a good job playing both characters.
Yeah.
But I think that the idea of him ever even getting near that woman...
No. But he does it.
None of us in this room would ever. If Christy Brinkley rolled up in a Ferrari next to our car, there's no way.
Yeah,
she's looking at us, I'd going, like, I'd "Hey,
I do a head bob."
Hey, no, girl. She wouldn't.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Yeah, you'd bust out your booty jam. 90s
boys to men.
You'd bust out your booty jam.
That sounds like digging a box, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing, right? No. That could also work.
That could also work.
It's not happening. That's why my wife is not worried.
No, of course.
Because she's like, nobody's doing nobody's touching you.
We've reached the, you wouldn't know what to do with it if you got it.
My dad told me that one time.
There you go.
I know this is an inappropriate story, but we went went to a strip club for the first time. And my dad, he looks at me and he goes, "Son, you wouldn't know what to do with her if she sat in your face."
There you go.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Wise words, Dad.
Wise words.
Thank you.
I figured it out, though.
Yeah. You figured it out. Labia Madrid. No,
can you eat a peach for days?
For hours?
For hours.
All right. Category 9, best cameo. I went with Eugene Levy as this one's my car salesman. He's only in it for a couple minutes, but he's a great car salesman. He got him to take the truckster. You can tell he's a slime ball. Eugene Levy. Awesome. I love Eugene Levy. Anyway, just to see him early and young, quick in this movie, I thought was funny. So he's my best cameo.
And it does feel like he's a guy that they almost didn't need to write anything for him. They were just like, okay, you're a car salesman.
Go.
And he's like, I got this.
His voice, everything works perfect.
Just start rolling, guys.
Yeah. I just love his face when through the window when like, Clark pulls him.
Yeah.
And he just like rolls his eyes like, oh, we don't have that car.
No. So he's already scheming. He already knows.
He calls him Mr. Griswold, but then when they're walking over, he goes, "Hey, Claude." He goes, "Clark."
Yeah. Well, and then what does he call Rusty?
Yeah.
He's like Reuben or something like that.
Yeah, he called him Reuben. So. Yeah.
All right. My best cameo, I went with John Candy.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously.
Yeah. I just love, he had some good lines. It was like, when they were on the little motorcycle ride, the little kiddie ride. This is scary. He's like, make sure you hold on to the handlebar, kids.
I had a bad experience on this ride once.
Yeah.
I threw up.
Well, and then I like how Rusty's actually covering his mouth. Oh, yeah. You know, like,
he doesn't want to toss some chunks on him. So.
And like after he shoots him, he goes, "You wrecked these pants. You're paying for them.
Gosh. I went with Christy Brinkley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just thought very, very iconic. You know, the girl in the Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know, she was kind of an 80s. Just that character.
Oh, yeah.
The 80s icon. It's been copied and, you know.
She caused a tingle, didn't she?
She caused
the tingle.
The tingle.
And I read that she was supposed to go topless.
She was.
She refused.
She said no.
She wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Good for her.
Despite only having a few scenes, Christy Brinkley stayed for the entire length of the film shoot. She spent her days off going horseback riding and whitewater rafting.
Ooh,
there you go.
Very good. Was Billy Joel there?
Might have been. Some other cameo stuff that I thought was cool. We talked about Jan Candy being paid $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beverly D'Angelo's husband was the musician playing in the piano bar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then, and then we talked about the guy that was also the stunt double.
The stunt double. So, well, that gets us to our last category.
Oh, boy.
Category 10. Okay. Rob's favorite category that we do.
This is hard.
He's a fashionista. We're going best outfit.
I'm wearing Crocs and socks. What are you talking about?
You don't
about?
Have socks on.
No, I did. I went without the socks.
You're without socks today. So, Kurt, we'll let you lead off because I know that you have your eye on fashion.
I do.
So, best outfit.
And there was a lot to choose from in this movie.
There was
a lot of good looks.
A lot of good looks.
But I went with the blue plaid shirt and the short khaki pleated shorts.
Short shorts, yes.
And the loafers as they're running up to Wally World.
Loafers is great.
Yes, I'm just going to tell you, my notes here say Chevy Chase's short shorts, shirt tucked in, penny loafers.
So same outfit?
Same outfit.
Perfect.
At the end, especially at the end when they get out of the car at Wally World.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You really get a good shot of
it. Yeah, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of legs.
If you watch before that, Chevy Chase wears the same pair of Converse, but four different colors of them. So he's got a lot of shoes on this trip, by the way. I'm just going to throw that in
there. Well, the idea of wearing shoes with no socks.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, no.
That drives me nuts.
Well, not loafers.
Yeah, no.
That's just the leather. They got to be broken in just right.
Nope. I'm not.
Do you think they were penny loafers? Do you think he had the pennies?
I don't know if he had any pennies.
Or did he have tassels?
There was. I don't remember tassels. Oh, okay.
I got you.
I do believe there were penny loafers, but I don't know if there was pennies in them.
And those were shorts.
Yes. Yeah. I have a tie. My first one was whatever Christie Brinkley's wearing or not wearing. That white outfit's great. Her and nothing's great. Mm-hmm. Everything with Christie Brinkley's great. But I will say this is the 80s, and this movie shows off and is the height of polo shirts. Rusty and Clark,
the alligator polos,
are poloing it up in this movie. I mean, Clark wears like 4 or 5 different colored polo shirts. Rusty's got a pink one. At one point, Ellen's wearing that pink one in the bedroom. Nice. Yeah, very nice. And ode to polo shirts in this movie.
That's, and this is pre. Thing. This is John Hughes pre 16 Candles. Yeah. Pre like so. This is before all that. Really, you know.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see the style that is coming. Later, you know, that becomes kind of the
But
thing,
I think ode to polo shirts here.
I will say one of the other things I was going to put is a little creepy.
Here we go.
Is Beverly D'Angelo's shirt, just her night shirt, wearing the, I like that look.
Why is that creepy? It's a good now, if you had said Cousin Eddie's night shirt, you know. Then we would have had some creepiness going on.
Yeah.
So
his stained wife beater shirt.
Did Cousin Eddie have a mustache or was just he had did. Showered?
It was a little gross,
I think. So it was rough. So I think that covers just about everything you could talk about for National Lampoon's Vacation. So final verdict, what do you think of this movie?
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, I read a lot of things that said it was, you know, top 50 comedies of all time.
Did it age well?
No.
Okay. Parts of it did not.
Parts of it did not age well. That's a good way to say that.
So in 2023, parts of it, which we've talked about, didn't hold up as well then. And so I think in 1983, I'm surprised some of those were still funny. Like I said, the French kissing thing, I don't even understand in 83 how that was funny. And if you're off camera and you're Harold Ramis and them, you're like, we wrote this. I mean, there's so many other ways you could have done that didn't go that route, I guess is the best way to say it. And does that make rural Americans look good? Because you're insinuating that because they live out on a farm.
Yeah.
So a couple things. They kind of make African Americans look like thieves and it's unsafe to be around them. They make rural folks look like they're all, you know, kissing each other. I don't know. There's a couple of stereotype tropes in here that probably didn't go as good as.
Well, and I think.
And I don't even think it would have gone well in 83, but it apparently went well enough. So.
I don't know if there's a controversial thing to say, but I wonder. Because, you know, like Blazing Saddles and The Jerk and some of those movies that came out that used some of that kind of borderline humor.
Yeah.
You know, and
but I think
maybe
that
that's
was
what
a little different, I guess.
They were trying to do. And I wonder, we've talked about before, do we take ourselves too seriously now? And they were trying to be funny and, you know.
They're trying to be funny, but I don't think I don't think those are as funny, just in general. But, you know, is what it is. Look, I've seen that movie 100 times. And even when I was a kid, when they did the French kiss line, I didn't laugh then. I was just like, ugh. Like, it was always just gross. That's all it was. Even when you were a kid, that's like, that doesn't sound right. Who's kissing their dad, by the way? Right? So.
Well, I think about, you know, some of the movies that, you know, me, myself, and Irene, and, you know, the whole, you know, the whole, there's things in that movie that are just.
Oh, well, of course there are.
You know, or, you know, something about Mary or.
Yeah.
You go, man, it's just gross.
Just gross.
But we go, man, those are classics. Sure. You know, now we look back and we go, man, those didn't. Will our kids look back and go, yeah, those didn't age well.
Yes. Well, you know. I think overall, funny movie. Still, you can watch it with the family. Might have to explain a couple things, but overall, I think it's a solid classic family movie. So first, I want to thank Kurt for being here again with us today.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Yes, it was fantastic. Rob, you got anything for Kurt?
I don't. I hope we get to do it again. I like having you here.
You it's like fun. Having me here. Yeah. He'd rather have you apparently than me because he's never said he likes having me here.
He's just had you too much.
I know. Well, too many times.
I don't.
He needs variety. He wants to have me now.
Ew.
Got to change it up. So,
okay. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode just on time of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed our look back at the 80s classic movie National Lampoon's Vacation. If you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and share with a friend and head on over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us feedback in 5 stars, which will help the show grow. And we love to read the feedback. Rob and I love hearing from our listeners, so please leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our website, which are all included in the show notes. You can also email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas you may want to hear in the future.
What are we doing next time?
Homework for next time. We are going to be looking at our because we were both big baseball fans growing up.
Yeah.
Our favorite Major League Baseball players of the 1990s.
Nice.
So we will cover those folks, yeah, whether they were juiced up or not. We're gonna we're gonna find out what we were into in the 1990s. Yeah,
that'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
I'm excited.
Juicy. Yeah. So you got anything else?
I got nothing.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out.
All right. That episode is going to be
rough.
It's going to need an E.
It's fantastic.
Anytime you're talking about
labia majora, come on.
Really brought that in from the warm-up. Nice work.
You said sit on your face. All right.
Oh, I did say that.
And I said I figured it out.